Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 88. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the host of the Everything Coworking Podcast. I have a very special guest today, and I'm really excited to bring you a different kind of episode than I typically do, less how-to and more mindset, which I think we can all use more of as entrepreneurs. So before we dive in, I just want to tell you, make sure you are aware that I am running the next cohort of the Coworking Startup School on September 25th and 26th. We're going to do it in 2 half days. So that we don't go into overwhelm. And I'm also adding a series of live Q&A sessions for the week after so that you be sure to get all of your specific questions answered immediately followed our sessions. This program is for you if you are investing in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. And we want to make sure that you get the business model right so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. We'll review your pro forma, help you with your product mix, design, sourcing furniture, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team, or learning to run the space yourself, and getting you set up with the right tech stack, and more. If this sounds like a fit for you, learn more at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. Now, let's jump into today's interview. I am so excited to bring today's guest on the show. She holds a really special place in my world. I was actually a recent guest on her podcast, which is called Playing Full Out. I posted the link to it in my Everything Coworking Facebook group, and some of you commented on the post after listening to the episode that you were grateful that I was willing to share my story and even a little bit surprised that my own journey had not been all sunshine and rainbows. It was certainly not, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity for you to know that you're not alone. So I'd love for you to listen to that episode. Just search for the Playing Full Out show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. I'm on episode number 10, but you should listen to every episode. I do that for my own ongoing mindset coaching. For those of you that haven't listened to the interview, I'll share a brief background on my relationship with Rita. Anything you do in life requires a how and the mindset to go after it. And I am personally very trained on in the how department, so much so that after my analytical rigor as an MBA grad from one of the top business schools in the country, I may have squashed some of my intuitive power. And so I got to a point in my post-MBA career when I was really stuck. And probably in, you know, a bit of a level of depression over not being able to move on and figure out what was next for me. And fortunately, I found Rita through a friend of mine, and Rita is a coach. And her website describes Rita Highland Coaching as the place where leaders come to reclaim their purpose, clarify their vision, and reconnect with their true voice. And that was exactly what she did for me. And not once, but a couple of times I've worked with her. And the first time I worked with her was the process that birthed Enerspace, my own co-working space. And it was a life-changing process for me that gave me the awareness and the tools to work through mindset issues as they come up. And as entrepreneurs, we are all managing mindset issues on a daily basis. So I'd like to welcome Rita. She's an entrepreneur, a coach, a speaker. She's a wife and a mom of 3 active kids. And she's going to talk to us today about how to recognize some common mindset barriers that keep us from pursuing our best lives. Rita, thank you for hanging in there through that long-winded introduction. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm very, very excited to be with you.
Yeah. And Rita's in Chicago, although ironically, we worked together when I was in Chicago and it was all remote. So we were all over the phone. So I've never actually met her in person. So it's super fun. We're video Zooming today. So I've gotten to see her in person. But Rita, so tell us a little bit more about the work that you do, and then we'll kind of dive into some of our entrepreneurial mindset challenges.
Great. I work with talented entrepreneurs and business owners and leaders who have had success by traditional standards, but they may not be feeling that on their own. And maybe that means that they're not feeling as fulfilled, or it's not measuring up to what they have enlightened or inspired by. And what this often means is that they are ready to do something that they've never done before. And it might be changing careers. It might be beginning a new business. It might be making another large change, whether that's a move or decisions to, you know, have children or whatever that is. But generally, it's in the business area and they are ready for more. It's sort of like they have gone through a first half of their life and they don't know if that's what they want to do for the next half. And they want to deliberately choose what that looks like for them.
So when people come to you, why do people have a hard time working through this on their own? Where are they typically stuck?
For most people, and I've actually been doing this for 20 years, which is hard for me to believe because I look like I'm 26.
Absolutely.
Is that most of the people that I work with are very smart and talented, and they have had a great deal of success by sheer willpower and force and doing the grind. And most of them could compete with any other person on how many hours they can put into a day. And it's been fruitful for them. They've had reward by being able to do the push. And there gets to a point where it is no longer either sustainable, or meaning that their health might be challenged, or the light in them has dimmed for the passion for their work. And so they know that what has gotten them here isn't going to get them there, but they're not quite sure of sometimes what they want, what next their next step is, I guess. And one of the biggest challenges, I think, for this type of person, and I am, and you probably are, Jamie, is acknowledging like we get there further if we work with someone else. Einstein said what you do on your own is rather small and paltry and monotonous compared to what you can do with another. And that's even research shows that when we're actually with another and have another with accountability and we're reporting on our progress to something other than our own, that we have more fruitful achievement and outcomes. So I think one of the reasons that it's hard is because we can't hear our own self-talk. You can't have five voices going on and actually feel sane. So I think one of the reasons that we get to the other place we get to when we're making a decision to change is that a lot of times people haven't consciously chosen their first half. It's happened. They've been successful. Then they got the next thing and next offers happened. And then they're like, sure. And then, oh, I guess that's the major I'll go into. I guess that's the city I'll live in. And there comes a point where people realize I got to take a step back and actually choose what it is that I want for this next part and define it.
Yeah, that totally resonates with me. I think I still, and probably most folks listening, I think I still go through cycles of thinking, right, I can just work hard enough to get through this or to get to the next step and sort of push my way through that brick wall. And then, you know, have a moment where I realize, okay, this is a mindset thing and it doesn't have to be hard, but I need help getting the right perspective to take the next step. Yeah, that totally resonates and certainly has been where I've been a couple of times. One of the things that we used to talk about that I think probably people listening are kind of in this boat of either thinking about starting a space or they have a space and they're kind of trying to optimize it or they want to grow and have multiple locations, but they're like kind of afraid of that next step. And because you talked to, I love like sort of hearing some of your truths because you speak to so many people who are going through this process and it helps to normalize some of the feelings that we have. Like I loved one of my favorite books that you had me read ages ago was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And I remember you saying, look, even CEOs of like Fortune 500 companies like are not always sure they're like doing the right thing or, you know, a little afraid and have those doubts, but they do it anyway. They just kind of keep moving through things. Can you sort of talk about that a little bit to help people who may be struggling with that now?
Absolutely. And I should say over these 20 years, I have worked with young, old women, men, entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, both young and budding and those who are established executives. And I think, and I do want this part of people to understand is that it is normal. And the reason that it's normal is and that we have these two biggest fears that are either the fear of rejection or the fear of inadequacy. And the reason that they're normal is because they actually are genetically wired into us, that we are predisposed to avoid feeling these two feelings at all costs. And so there isn't a person, if there's someone that's telling you that they haven't had that feeling, or because in part it's healthy. It's that oldest part of our brain. It's the reptilian part of our brain that is always scanning like a primal animal to avoid being unsafe. And what happens though, is that it gets overextended and it terms of its power that we give it. And it starts to, when we're, it has nothing to do with whether we're going to live or die. It starts to make choices based upon whether it doesn't want to also feel a feeling. And then it becomes, you know, emboldened by its power. And we start making all of our choices of, I don't want to not be safe. I don't want to be uncertain. And we start to get into agreements with the reptilian brain, the oldest, most inefficient and unnecessary part of our brain that leads us. And we start saying, we'll do things like, well, that's probably for someone else. I'm not ready for that. That's too big for your britches. That could fail. I mean, statistics show we get into over analysis. And so I think the biggest thing is that I would say to entrepreneurs, and this is anybody who wants to make sure that they are living to their edges or playing full out, as my words go, is to do this. It's a master thought and you can write this down. It will change everything. Is to be aware that that is not who you are. That is a thought. You are not your thoughts. And you must separate from the thought and choose a new thought that actually supports where you're going. It's a new interpretation. I think one of the things that experts tell us today is that we have to believe ourselves. You just got to believe in your dreams. You got to believe in your aspirations. And we have to, I don't go into believing as much as I believe that there is a specific process and that we have to become in advance that thing that we seek to achieve. And I can talk more to that. But I think the first piece is understanding, yes, indeed, as you say, Jamie, every person has this feeling. There are some that are better able to manage it, the voices, the self-doubt, than others. And those who are successful, maybe co-working space owners or business owners in general, have learned to work with it as opposed to allow it to dominate them.
And that's learnable, right?
Absolutely.
And I feel like, you know, every time I talk to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, I still have so much work to do to make that. You have to train your awareness to recognize when that reptilian part of your brain is sort of interfering with living, you know, playing full out, as you put it. And that's a constant effort. I mean, for me, it is anyway. I have to constantly sort of remind myself of that. But it's probably right biological thing that our brain is probably trying to constantly sort of reset us to safety, and we have to keep challenging it, and it feels uncomfortable, and you have to get used to that, which is
yes. I think there's two models of performance in the world, and this is really game changing for those entrepreneurs who want to not continue to play into the old world reality. And it's really pretty much based on brain science, which is, and that's why it's just not about believing in things. It is understanding that you can never impress on the external that which you aren't on the internal. And people operate in the old world model and performance of have, do, be. That when I have fill in X more money, time, support, capabilities, smarts, competence, I will then do these things so that I can be happy and be successful. And whatever that be is, the real way that our brains work and physics work is be, do, have. When I am being it, I will do habits of behavior that allow me to have the co-working space.
Right.
And yep. And understanding that, unfortunately, and what's the reason I'm in the work that I do is because it's painful for me, as you're saying, can you learn this? Is that this is very much, it should be what we learn in kindergarten.
Totally.
It's very much, it's not nuanced. It's not woo-woo. It is flat out the way our brains work, and that hitting our heads against the wall, very smart, talented. And I work with leaders because I want those leaders to go out and ripple affect another 50 people. And so when doing that, it's painful to me. I mean, we need a world where more people are living at their highest levels and aren't just operating from a half version of themselves. And so I'm open and eager to help show how this be, do, have model, it really works, so that there are, because it's very practical and it is the only way that people will be able to release their brilliance that they're called to here.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. I'm going to share one quick related industry example to that. I was talking to, and I talk about her all the time, but Mara Hauser the other day, and she's hosting this class for us at the GWA conference, which you've all heard me talk about ad nauseum, but she's talking about management agreements, which we're all, you know, really interested in doing in our industry and learning about how those work. And she made this statement that you have to have, you know, multiple locations and established brand and whatever. And I was sort of pushing her on that because I said, well, Mara, you met your developer when you had one location. She's like, right. Well, I was already acting as if I had multiple locations because I had brand standards and I had this and I had that. And it just made me think of exactly what you just described. Like she was acting as if she was already sort of this big force in the industry and she only had one location. But her processes and her team and her culture and, you know, and the branding and the website and all the things were elevated already. And that was really more of a mindset thing to decide to do that because it's not that expensive or that hard or that anything to be operating at that place. It's more of a mindset thing. And that, you know, drove great results for her. But I think we shy away from that and think, well, we have to get the second or third location before we can start acting as if we have them. And yeah, it's a hard, so
it's actually inverted. It's sort of like, it's like that. You're exactly. I mean, she doesn't know her own success formula.
Yeah.
You sort of were starting to pump it out for her. Yeah. She says, I acted as if, and that's exactly it. If there are two pianos, this is physics. If there's two pianos in a room and you hit the key on one piano, that same piano, I mean, the other piano in the room, that key is reverberating. And that's because of a vibrational energy. And that when you are being the vibration or the energy, it's called sympathetic response. If you're being that, then it can't help but reverberate that same note or frequency in the external, in another place. So the job is to be it, as you say, first. And that, how do you do that? It's operating with the identity. Some people would say, I think Marie Forleo would say something like, go pro, you know?
You know?
And so, and what that means is, and as you're saying, it's really not that hard on a practical level. And I'll explain it. You would get the business cards. You buy that URL. You do this.
Totally.
And the question becomes, who would I be being? What would I be doing? And how would I feel if I had already achieved that? And then start operating from that place. And if you think about that in terms of if you're a new person who's buying a new space for yourself, or you have one that you want to up level, it is your most leveraging efficient work at this time is to spend some time with that question. Who would I be being? What would I be doing? And how would I be feeling? And then start operating from there because you will have all different types of habits of behavior and ideas and solutions to your current circumstances. And here's the thing is if you are operating from your current circumstances, like I have $5 in my wallet, or I have this much space, and my space is smaller than the guy down the street. And if you're operating from that place, you're always going to repeat that space. If you operate from your current circumstances, you're always going to be repeating your current circumstances. And this is the thing is willpower is really about 20% of our strength. It's not to say that it is not strong, but there is a piece of dormant energy and reserves that we have that for so many have really not been tapped. And when you become what I call the identity of, and you own the identity and who you're being as you operate and you start your day with these ways of being the co-working space that owns 5 co-working spaces, you know, or what happens, just like you did for the person who is speaking, if you act as if, very different behavior arises. It's not just that it's attraction thing as much as it is your behavior will change. You'll notice.
Yeah. And one thing I would love you to comment on that came up recently is no one is ever done with this journey, right? Like you're never done sort of acting sort of with the next phase of who you are and who you can become, because when that happens, you die.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's like there are not, it's not like there's this huge population of people running around who have figured this all out. Like we're all sort of having to go through the struggle of acting around like what's next in any part of our lives. So again, that feeling of like, you know, we're alone in this sort of struggle. We're not, because when you are done with that process, you're sort of done living your life.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. The only thing I would say is that what happens when you start to reprogram your subconscious mind and rewire it. And it's very specific steps in a very specific order, but it starts to become your default that you reduce the lag time between when you're there, maybe that moment of self-doubt and how quickly you shift to being in the place where, yeah, now I'm becoming the CEO of this. And so you do it more quickly with less pain. But indeed, Gay Hendricks talks about in The Big Leap, this, the idea of the upper limit problem and how long will you have the upper limit problem? You're going to have the upper limit problem, which in essence is, you know, it's like the glass ceiling, the current glass ceiling. It's your current set point of how much wealth, happiness, success that you can have. And when you need to move through it, there is a moment of uncertainty. And then it is how quickly you are able to say, okay, here I am. I'm acting as if. So as long as we're growing in this world and are alive, it shows up. I would say that for most of my clients, and what happens is that the voice dims and gets quiet and you get faster about saying, okay, I'm in momentum. This is what I was born for. I'm not scared. Like Jonah Mark says, maybe this is what I was born for. And being able to stay in that energy or vibration for a longer period of time. And really, as I said, it's about matter. Because I do work with people and I've seen people and I've certainly seen teachers who are able to hold it and operate that 95% of their life as opposed to forgetting and being there more like 20%.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important, but it is a retraining. And so you have to put the work in. You have to go through the process and put the work in.
Or else
those voices never get quieter. Yeah, I love that. But like anything, we can learn. What would you share with people who are kind of in that phase where they're focused on the how? They have this complete clarity that they're meant to start a co-working space or they're meant to scale their business, but they're, you know, worried about the, how do I raise the money? How do I find the right space? You know, they're really focused on all the hows. What advice would you give them?
Yeah. What I see for people is that they, once you start taking the action, it gets more activity and more action. And to listen from that place of being, if I already had this, if I was already successful at this, who would I call as my next contact? Where would I go ask for the money to develop this? Who would I ask to be marketing this? And then first up, get the information. I think so many times we get stuck and I see people because they're really stuck only because they're lacking information. I'm like, well, go get the information and then you can make the decision. I mean, there are like 9 reasons you could be stuck. Fear is one of them, capabilities, all these different things. But, you know, information is amazing. If you can recognize for yourself, I'm like, you're just stuck because you don't have the information. Go make the call. Go ask. What happens then is you get information and then you have more ideas and you take more steps. I would say for 99% of my clients, I get calls all of the time. And they're like, you're not going to believe this. And then they took one action. And so I was like, just go take that next thing. And I think you can attest to this, Jamie, in your own development. It's like, you know, and you come up and you maybe brainstorm many 10 ideas on something. And then you pick a few and you're like, I don't know if it's going to be the ghost money. I don't know if it's going to be this. Oh, maybe it's actually my own money. You know, I had a lady who wanted to retire. She's like, my dream is to retire to Hawaii someday. And she was at a large firm that I worked with, but she was in her early 50s. And I said, well, have you checked what your financial, you know, where your retirement is? And she's like, I haven't. I said, why don't you go check? And so she was floored and she came back. She did the due diligence and she figured out a way and she and her family moved to Hawaii and started up their thing. So we're starting before the call to talk about limitations and how we put them. We really are not understand that reptilian brain. It's like, oh, I'm not letting you change because you might get hurt. And yet it's the very thing that we want, you know, is to make the change, to evolve, to be making progress. I think that's what the problem is. I think most people get so, it's unhappiness equals progress. I mean, no progress equals unhappiness. And so we all as human beings want to grow and yeah, I think that we have it within us. It's not outside of us. And the best thing that we can do when we're really immersed in the how, it's not your business to know the how. Your business is right now to be ever so clear on what it is that you desire and have that vision, very visual. Our subconscious mind speaks in emotional imagery. So have it very tasty and sensual and that you get it. You see this thing. It is gorgeous. It is color of the, everything is the way you want it. And it's who's leading it. and how many hours a week you have on your own and where you're going to get the next space, whatever this looks like. And then your next step is to be the leader and be the person who already has it going on. And then what happens is that the how shows up for you when you take that next step. And then all of a sudden you've got 10 more opportunities. Jamie, you want to give some examples from your own personal life on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to be the long-winded other side of the interview. But yeah, I would just say that I can recall a million examples of that when I first started my space, and I'd be on the phone with Rita and you'd say, okay, right, make these 5 calls this week. And right, I'd come back and be like, well, who knew? Yeah, I was that person who's like, you will never believe this. You never know. I mean, I think the evidence still, sort of surprises me. Rita and I were talking about some examples in my recent life before our phone call. But, when I first started my co-working space, I did not have this podcast, for example, as a source of the how. And I was trying to learn so many things and figure so many things out. And I had no visualization. I was so concerned about the hows and, well, how is this going to work? And how is this going to get done? And how am I going to find a space or pay for it or whatever? And those next steps just kept, the actions just begot results or things that I just never would have guessed. I even had a funny one recently. We're doing an expansion in my own space and it's an investment to do an expansion. So I was like, this is kind of a chunk of change. I got to look at the bank accounts and see where we're going to take this from. And I was a little bit, worried about it. And I knew the return is there, but it's just like, well, it's a chunk. I got to find it. And so it just showed up. Our tax guy emailed us out of the blue and said he found an error that was done by our former tax guy. And we get this refund that basically is the same amount as it's the investment. And you're just like, well, I never would have guessed that. And those things, it seems crazy, but always will happen. They just will. And sometimes, right, you need to raise money to pay for the whole thing. But there will be little things here and there that show up that you never, ever, ever would have guessed, but you just keep taking action. If you don't take action, those things don't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they will when you're taking it.
I think that's another one, is that the universe wants you to put your foot in. It will match you and it will have your back. And even when you as an interpret that maybe, well, it didn't have my back because that launch didn't go well, or that it's operating from an interpretation that everything actually is supporting me, even when I might not see it in this moment, and being curious of, wow, how is this working out for me that I might not know? And I had one of those moments where to invest in coaching was some outrageous amount. And I was like, okay, she's officially crazy to think I'm going to put that money in. This was long ago. And then I realized it's the exact thing for my next level that I have to do. And so I put my foot in and I did it. And it was $10,000 of coaching like 20 years ago. And then I got, in the most strange way, a check for $10,018. And I was like, and I had for months held off on this, but I'm like, the second that I opened myself and I said yes, and I took the leap, it met me. And I think that a lot of those, that's where you're the frequency, right? That's where you're holding the vibration. You're the piano note key, and that something else matches you there. One of the things I think is really important is people who, I know, Jamie, you can get into it sometimes, whether it's self-doubt or analysis paralysis, or I got to think my way through this. If you think that you're going to think your way through life, you're going to forever remain lost. You're not going to be able to solve, because first of all, you can't be certain about anything, and thinking you're going to get more information. There are times when you have to be led by your own internal GPS of what I know it, I feel it. And the other place that I would say when you're creating that you must be in, and this is really game changing, is that you must create from a place of peace of mind. You creating when you're scared or afraid or holding that vibration or frequency is always going to lead you to more fear-based ideas, solutions, and thinking. So being able to create, and I can tell you how to create interpretations or create stories that put you back to that peace of mind, such as, my favorite song of the summer is Everything's Going to Be All Right. I think Kenny Chesney.
That's your theme song.
But if we operate, because it always is, I'm still here. And I've had a lot of boo-boos and things happen, but I'm like, it always is all right. Even with the mistakes, yesterday I was in a curriculum night with my fourth grade class. And the teacher said, we're really trying to support children and having a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And she said, that it's okay to make mistakes. And we as adults do not, first of all, I can imagine we are not teaching our children that, because I will tell you, we're not leading like that. We are, in the corporate world, whether we're in our own entrepreneurial worlds, we say we're not allowed to make a mistake. And we will be our hardest critics and the nastiest to ourselves. And if we could get to a place where, I say the high performers, the evolved, go to a place where something doesn't happen. It's simply an outcome. It's not a mistake. And if you want the outcome to be different, you shift how you're doing it so we get a new outcome. If you were that neutral about things that you call a mistake, you would be more fluid and flow and in turn have some very different answers to your questions that you put out. I encourage people as they go through their day to return to their peace of mind and begin to create whatever business model or whatever your next step is from that navigation point.
Rita, I feel like we should end on that piece of gold. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, I mean, I think going to that, I do so much. I would say people come and we think, you know, I have objectives that people have that say, I want this to happen. And what I find really interesting, Jamie, is what it gets down to. We're tired of the hustle and the grind and trying to operate from, you know, we're never going to be able to keep up with it all because technology is moving too quickly. And so we're really getting burnt out. And the other piece is that it all really comes down a lot to self-doubt and managing and confidence. I mean, I will have the biggest of the biggies sitting with me and they're like, I'm just losing it. I'm losing my, you know, and the fear and the worry. And it does seem to take on a life force of its own. So if you harness anything in your next 3 months of life, I would invite it to be becoming a master of your own thoughts and being very choosing what those are that are going to support these beautiful businesses. Because, and if you focus on serving as opposed to what's in it for me and adding value and understand that you have a moral obligation to help people or to show up in your business, to keep this economy going, to serve people on being able to lead their businesses, which might affect other people's lives. When you understand that it is your moral obligation to do the work that you're doing, you will find a source within you that's much stronger than you ever thought, I guess. That's what I would say. So with great responsibility, or with great power comes great responsibility, Spider-Man. I said that to my 11-year-old son this morning, but I mean it. I'm like, we underestimate how much power we have and what that influence is. And you all know times in your life where if you hadn't done something, someone else wouldn't have been positively affected. And that is, and to me, that happens a lot through businesses. And we need to keep the flow going in the economy and the flow going in our own lives so that it can be reverberating and change the world as we do what we're best at doing. So I'm excited for your peeps as they go forward. And I'm glad that you do what you do because one, I know it gives you a lot of joy. And two, because then they have, I mean, I'm glad my peeps, your peeps said that they get to go out and help other businesses and themselves and their own families with the work that they do.
Well, I think this is going to be my new favorite episode because I am, ironically, my podcast is very sort of how to and learning about the industry. And I think, to your point, one of the most important things you can do is master your thoughts, and the hows are sort of secondary to that. So I know I'm going to listen to this repeatedly. So if folks want to hear, so your podcast is on iTunes. I got that right, right? Playing Full Out.
Yes.
You can tell us about your website and kind of where to find you if they want more Rita.
I am at ritahyland.com, and that's H-Y-L-A-N-D for Highland, Rita, R-I-T-A-H-Y-L-A-N-D. And I actually am having on this, I'm going to have a free webinar next Wednesday at lunch. And for people that are interested, and we'll go through this a little bit more in-depthly. So it'll be 45 minutes, a power lunch. And if that's something that people are interested, they can drop me a note and there's a wait list out there. And yeah, and a way to sign up starting today.
Perfect. Is that right on your website if they want to find
yes.
it? I'll put that in the show notes too. I'll put them there so that I'll folks have it. Good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm so glad that we've reconnected and I'm so happy for you. You know that you do great things for the industry. And what do you need to do right now? You just say, thank you.
Exactly.
I do. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thanks to the universe and thanks to everyone listening. And thank you for spending your time sharing your insights and your expertise on mastering our thoughts. I really appreciate it. And I'll put the link to your webinar in the show notes so people can find more of that.
Okay, perfect. Take care. Have a fabulous upcoming last quarter to life into 2018, everyone.
Thanks, Rita.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.